Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with the killer, who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
The reason we do Murder Monday is to bring attention to Crime Stoppers. They let you anonymously give out tips on any unsolved crime that might be in your area. Here's their number to call. 1-800-222-TIPS. That's 1-800-222-TIPS. Alex, what are you tackling today for Murder Monday?
Be a little different. This is a shorter Murder Monday than we normally do. It just is how the story is, the information. It doesn't take a lot of time to cover, but I did think this case was very weird.
Okay.
And so I was very excited to talk about it. It is about the therapy that killed Candace Newmaker. Candace Newmaker is one of several babies born to a teenage mother and a violent father in 1989 in Lincolnton, North Carolina. Her family has a history of involvement with social services, and her mom is living in a home for mentally ill children when Candace is born. When Candace is born, the pediatric nurse, Jean Newmaker, who is there, falls in love with this sweet baby. She knows that she would provide Candace with opportunities that her low social class and disorganized family life could not. After 5 years, Jean is finally able to adopt the baby she fell in love with. But after an initial honeymoon period, Jean begins to complain that her new daughter is behaving negatively. Soon, Candace begins to see a series of psychotherapists and receives a series of diagnoses, including post-traumatic stress disorder and bipolar disorder and other psychiatric medications. During this period, Candace's school and psychiatrist rarely communicate with each other. Instead, Jean Newmaker was the sole go-between in seeking services for Candace. Then, which I think this is weird, I don't understand how this was even legally able to happen, Jean becomes Candace's own caseworker.
Huh?
She spends months trying to bond with the 7-year-old, but to no avail. Her daughter simply just isn't forming an attachment to her. Even worse, she wasn't really displaying signs of attaching to anything else either. She showed almost no regard for her surroundings or even other living things. She started playing with matches, and Candace even kills her pet goldfish on purpose.
Oh, man.
Though none of Candace's psychiatrists had suggested that attachment issues were at the root of her emotional difficulties, in early 2000, Jean hears of something that she thinks could finally help her daughter. A therapist in Colorado, 1,000 miles from her North Carolina home, specializes in a form of reattachment therapy known as rebirthing, a treatment for reactive attachment disorder. The treatment, which is part of a 2-week intensive session, cost the single mom $7,000.
Wow.
But Jean agrees to it nonetheless, traveling across the country with her daughter for the help. The first week of the treatment goes as planned, and Candace begins to show improvement. Then, in week 2, disaster strikes. After a week and a half of therapy, Connell Watkins, who is the lead and unlicensed psychotherapist out of whose basement the therapy was being conducted.
Okay, well, there you go right there.
Yeah.
We're in a basement.
Spent $7,000 to go across the country to go in a basement to do some weird therapy with your adoptive daughter.
Yeah, you don't do therapy in a basement. You don't get your butt cheeks injected in a basement. I mean, the list goes on and on.
So this unlicensed psychotherapist in this basement decides that Candace Newmaker is ready for the rebirthing. So here's what rebirthing is. During the rebirthing, there is an attempt to simulate the birth canal, and the patient is made to be tightly wrapped in a sheet and laid under a pile of pillows, which is weighed down by the therapist. The patient must then wriggle out of the sheet and the pillows on their own, where they're reborn into the arms of their loving parents. This form of therapy was developed in the 1970s by a dude named Leonard Orr, based on the belief that the trauma of birth has lifelong consequences on a person's psyche. The belief, or the client, is guided through a reenactment of birth with hyperventilation, which releases tension said to have begun at birth. And an individual's release of this repressed trauma is said to facilitate healing of physical, mental, and emotional disorders, which sounds freaking nuts to me,
but
here we are.
Who comes up with this stuff? Like, hey, I want you to pretend you're being born again.
This
Come
guy,
on,
Leonard.
Wiggle it out.
So the rebirthing that they do with Candace is videotaped so that Candace's mother can watch from another room, experiencing the miracle of her child's rebirth without getting in the way. In the end, the video would prove to be anything but miraculous and would become a key piece of evidence in convicting Connell Watkins and her assistants. At the beginning of the video, Watkins instructs the 10-year-old Candace to lie on the ground on top of a sheet and curl up in the fetal position. As the sheet is pulled tightly around her and tied at the top and bottom, she instructs Candace on what to do next. She says, "Imagine yourself as a teeny little baby inside your mother's womb and what it felt like. Warm. It felt tight because her stomach was all around you. Then, three assistants gather around, each armed with a large pillow. Together, they are seen pressing the pillows down on Candace as Watkins tells her to try and get out. Come out head first," Watkins' assistant instructs. "You have to push really hard with your feet. If you stay in there, you're going to die and your mommy's going to die." It wasn't until 8 long minutes into the rebirthing that Candace first expresses her inability to get out of her makeshift womb. Candace says, "Who's sitting on me? I can't do it. I can't do it." She begins to cry. At 10 minutes, she begins to tell Watkins she can't breathe. "Whoever is pushing on my head, it's not helping. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't breathe. It's too dark under here. Please quit pushing on my head. I can't do it. Somebody's sitting on top of me." Candace Newmaker struggles to continue to breathe for hours longer, telling them repeatedly that she can't breathe and expresses fears that she's going to die. At one point, Watkins' assistant tells her that if this is what she wants to do, she should just do it. "Go ahead and die right now," she says after Candace asks if they want her to die. For just over 70 minutes, Candace Newmaker struggles as she is slowly smothered to death. She vomits and defecates inside the sheet, and they tell her you should sleep in it. Ultimately, she is asphyxiated. 20 minutes passes before Watkins finally unwraps her, as the last minutes of the video show no sound coming from her. As soon as she is unwrapped, her mother screams and Watkins attempts CPR. There, the video ends. Candace Newmaker is later pronounced dead from asphyxiation at a local hospital. Connell Watkins and her assistant are charged with reckless child abuse resulting in death and sentenced to 16 years in prison. The other two people who held the pillows in the video were given 10 years probation for criminally neglecting a child, child abuse, and sentenced to serve 1,000 hours of community service as part of a plea bargain. As a result of Candace Newmaker's death, a law is instigated in Colorado and North Carolina that prohibits dangerous birth reenactments, and similar legislation was introduced in the other states as well. Connell Watkins was paroled in 2008.
That is insane, Alex. Like, who thinks of that? Like, well, this is going to help the kid.
There is an entire transcript you can read of the conversation, but it is so hard to read and so disturbing. I only picked a little bit of it to read to you today, but if you want to Google that, you can. But just be warned, it's very hard to read.
All right, Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Thank you so much, Alex.